Welcome to The Better Way, a podcast by Builder Trend. Here, you'll learn to simplify and establish processes that will make meaningful changes to your company and help you to achieve your goals. On this season of The Better Way, we're doing things a little bit differently. We know you don't want to just hear from us, you want to hear from other pros. That's why, in addition to our experts, we're also inviting industry leaders to help teach best practices for successfully implementing software and getting your team on board. In this episode, get scheduling insights and an overview of the template from the guys who have built over 100 homes in over a decade. Today, Joe Christensen and Adam Schaefer are here to talk about keeping their team and projects on track. Thank you again, both of you, for being here with us for another episode of The Better Way. And I would love to pick your brains about scheduling templates.
Pick on?
Dig deep, dude.
Let's get our pick on.
We're open books.
Straight to the diving board. Are you ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready to jump in.
All right. Perfect.
Backflip.
So,
Gainer.
You guys are obviously super users of Builder Trend, been with us for years and years, longer than I've known some of my own family, I feel like. I mean, you've been with us for like, you said 12 years?
Well,
is that right?
Just about.
Just a tad under? Ay, golly.
Gosh, it's true.
Yeah.
I have a longer relationship with Builder Trend than I have with my kids.
Yeah.
They were not alive.
Jeez, it's just a part of the family.
It is part.
We know where we're at on the totem pole.
When you're here.
Your family.
Oh my god.
Builder Trend way, dude.
We are getting sued by somebody.
Wait, didn't they give that up?
They did.
I felt like Jimmy Fallon bought it or
Post
something.
Post Malone
right?
brought it back.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Like, oh, we're fine then. Mm-hmm. He's cool. So with our schedule, right? Our schedule feature, why has this been such a game changer for your business?
Let's dive in.
Where did you start with it? Maybe we can start there. Where did you start with the scheduling tool? Because I'm sure you didn't just have like 150 items overnight. And
No. And I think we're gonna touch on a little bit of things that we touched on previously. But I think, again, scheduling is the most intuitive thing for any contractor because ultimately everything funnels down to the schedule. Everything that we do, every selection, every change order, you really could boil it down that like it all, like if a schedule is a funnel, then every other component's going to fall down into that. So I think we all are raised in our construction lives to start using a schedule. And I think we started it with anybody else started a really basic template form. And because you start by having a 3-week look ahead or some type of CP, critical path schedule. And then you start seeing the tools that Builder Trend is and that it's not just a static schedule. It's not something that just lives on Excel and that you keep printing out once a week. And saying, hey, what happened? What happened this week? Well, none of that.
let me just say
pause real quick.
Joe.
I'm not done.
So one thing that Builder Trend offers that I think we just discovered this maybe a year ago, a year and a half ago.
This might be embarrassing that you're admitting this, but
I am admitting this. But I don't think a lot of users know this. Like Builder Trend has a Builder Trend Academy that's online. Mm-hmm. Which is absolutely fantastic.
It's phenomenal.
And so you can, you know, as a business owner, I can request that my employees get Builder Trend certified. And so one of those awesome certifications that what we did with our company is we just said, hey, everyone, you are going to get certified as a project manager because the project manager certification covers basically all aspects of Builder Trend. Mm-hmm. And one of those is scheduling. So as a business owner, or if I'm, you know, wanting to start implementing scheduling tools into my business through Builder Trend, that's the perfect way to start the education for how to use this function is get certified. Mm-hmm. Go through the Builder Trend Academy and get certified. So require all of your employees, require your scheduler to go through and get certified. And that will just be the easiest way for them to familiarize themselves with the tools and the functions of scheduling.
Well, and another component, and truthfully, we are kind of, I don't know, I don't know if what's the percentage of contractors that know what a CP schedule is. Adam and I actually we earned degrees in construction management. We had a semester of just scheduling, and when you really dive deep into construction, I mean, there's people who make their whole career circled around scheduling, and there's a massive component to it. I know a scheduler who works for a big GC, commercial GC in Kansas City, and then he moved on to be consultant. And what's wild is he actually, because he knows the tools and components of scheduling, he actually goes and works for once a year, does audits of schedules for like Intel and IBM, because he knows the components and functionalities of schedules. And so I do think what one thing that's important, and like kind of along your certification, is like before anything, you've got to know the components of schedule. And I keep saying that word CP, and that's a critical path schedule. And it's one of the most, and Billutrend allows you to create a critical path schedule. But that alone, like if you don't know what that is, you've got to do a little bit of education and research, because there are literally thousands of tasks that one project will have, but not all of them are critical to move the schedule to the next step. Like, you are putting in the foundation, and after the foundation, you are going to be, let's say, pouring concrete or framing the house. There is multiple steps in there that you're gonna, I just gave you three components, but there's lots of other components that are gonna be happening that might not be critical, or they are critical, but they're steps no matter what. And so I think first and foremost, if you don't know what a CP schedule is, you've got to do some educating to understand that, because that's the fundamental building block of a schedule, and really driving a schedule in a complex construction project.
Totally. You've got to do, and that's why going back to the Builder Trend Academy, you're going to get the brief insight on what a predecessor is, what a successor is, mm-hmm. what float is, what a lag time is, all these different components of the scheduling. Builder Trend Academy, it's that introduction to scheduling. So for those that don't have that scheduling background or haven't received a formal education on scheduling, Builder Trend Academy, I'd say that's step one. And then start Googling it, right? Like then you'll start really collecting that information. If like back to your question where you're like, why is this such a game changer? It's a funny thing, right? A homeowner perceives, you could be bad at communicating, but if you're on time, you're a great contractor.
It's so true. It actually is like that it's maybe the first hurdle and bar. Like if you are just on time.
Yes, because most homeowners will pay more for you to be on time. If you bring up that option of, hey, we can wait for this electrician, or we can go with this other electrician that charges $2,500 more, but he'd start tomorrow. What would you like to do? 9 times out of 10, they're gonna say,
tomorrow.
I'll pay the other guy. Let's do it. So I would feel like you could suffer at communication. You might be bad at your budgeting or whatnot. If you're on time, you're a good contractor.
It's so true. I mean, really, like you're kind of blowing my mind, because I'm thinking of all the times when like the jobs, maybe didn't have all the other components that we like to call a successful job, but it was on time and ultimately profitable and had a happy client.
And makes all the difference.
It does. I mean, it totally, and I think that's why, probably why as contractors, it's the first thing we kind of master or try to master of a schedule, because it does have the biggest like ROI to it, mm-hmm. like immediately. If you do it right, it's like, boom, you got it. But I am shocked how many people, going back to that just critical path, I had somebody I know, a contractor who's been around forever, working on a job, and they were saying to me, I was complaining about the critical path, And they were saying, well, things are happening. And his like fundamental lack of like what a critical path is was kind of shocking to me, because this guy is very knowledgeable and very experienced. And I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter that lots of things are happening. It's not progressing the next step. And so anyway, yeah, I think
you know, one thing just to be clear, I know this audience is all builders, right? But you said do it right, right? Like there is a huge quality component to that. Right. Oh, yeah. If you can build on time and in a quality manner, then you're a great builder.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's not just
don't just get the job done in a week and it looks like
We're holding quality and budget and everything constant. We're just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously a kind of basic understanding of scheduling in general, knowing some of those key phrases. You mentioned the Builder Trend Learning Academy is a great place to start. So what else do you typically know that you need in your schedule? What other items are we incorporating? Where are we starting? Or where did you start, I should say?
I'll take a little bit of this. You could
back you up, bro.
Yeah,
I got you.
Back. Okay. So I'm going to back up even a little bit more. I think as contractors, if you kind of go from 40,000 foot view, like what we do is assess risk, right? That's how you bid a project. You look at a project and you're like, wow, this is awesome. This might be a 2,000 square foot home, might be a 10,000 square foot home. Ultimately, there's risk in either one. There's risk in the type of client. There's risk where the lot is or where the project is. There's risk in the time it's being built and the schedule that they're requiring and the budget and then the nitty gritty details. And so I think when you build out a schedule, you've got to have that kind of mindset. Like, what kind of risk are there? You know, we have a template. Maybe we say, yeah, on a whole, a home can be built in 10 months to 12 months. Let's just say that. But then that's just like your baseline. You have to look at every project and say, okay, what risks are there with this project? When are they starting? Is there going to be a climate issue? There's always weather delays, but how many in here? Is there a risk in the type of material they're trying to ask? Is this stuff imported from China or is it imported from Italy? It's going to be two different kind of components there. Is it or imported at all? Is the labor going to be an issue? There's all kinds of risks that you have to assess and then build into that schedule. And this is a difficult part for all contractors, and I include myself because I am the worst. I've graduated in certain things, but I was one time, I feel like, bad at these things. That's what I'm saying. So I'm not trying to speak from a high tower that I'm the best always. I was birthed the best. I was not. But like contractors are overly optimistic. We have to be. We're in a freaking crazy industry. So we kind of have to be like, we have to be eternal optimists. Like, we can do it. I know it's impossible. We can do it. You've got to learn to be a realist though. And building a schedule is kind of that. Like, you've got to be like, well, I'll be optimistic here, but if you're too optimistic, we all go through this as contractors. We accept too much work, we are overly optimistic, and we get burned. Mm-hmm. And then you eventually become that grouchy, leathery contractor who knows and says.
A little scorned.
Yeah, a little scorned with the test of time. Oh, and yeah. He says, no, that house can
my
only
way
be,
or the highway.
That house can only be built in 15 months. And it's going to have a lot of problems.
But the old guy, he's going to talk in days. He'll say, like, oh, shoot. It'll be done in 111 days.
I know. That's actually powerful. I love it when they do that.
It's like when my kid is 47 months old. Oh. I have no idea what that is.
I know.
Thank you for nothing.
I gave up on that a lot when I had kids. I was like,
I am not.
He's less than one.
He's less than one. This
about yay high.
Yeah. But so like assessing risk, and I think you've got to have like some big things that have kind of changed the way I think about like a procurement log. You know, do you have a procurement log? Again, that schedule is the funnel to all the stuff that's in the house. And the other thing that's like a risk thing, you could call it like an exposure log. What's your exposure to this project? What's the risk exposure? Is it in budget? Is it in selections? Is it the client itself? Because they are wishy-washy on everything and you have to hold their hand. So all those things are going to factor. And the big thing is you have to be realistic. And it's hard because you have to win a job too with the schedule. And sometimes that's ultimately like, your pricing is should be linked to a schedule.
Totally.
To piggyback off that, if I'm building out a template schedule, I'm going to start super high level, where it's like, I'm going to go through the steps of construction that are what I would perceive as the key steps. So I would start with excavation. I would then go to footing and foundation. I would then go, you know, I would progress with the large items. And then what I would do is I'd get to the finish, and then I'd go back and I would start assigning predecessors, successors, and then I would start adding in the details. Mm. Okay, so for us, the way that we've done it is we've incorporated template schedules into every aspect of our business. So there actually is a template schedule for pre-construction, which is something I think that might be considered unique. So our homeowners, on day one, when they're starting the design process, we pull up their BuilderTrend account and they get to see the pre-construction schedule. How do we get from point A to groundbreaking, where we are now? Our pre-construction timeline, it's 7 months. So we set up a calendar for that, for all of that, with milestones. Hey, this is our goal date to complete floor plan design. This is our goal date to complete schematic pricing. But we use template schedules for all facets of our company, starting from the inception when we're starting pre-con with them. So it just gives them that visual, that snapshot, that things are happening behind the scenes. And we do share that with our clients. We share all the schedules with our clients. I think some builders might feel, exposed mm-hmm. by doing that. But BuilderTrend also has a sweet feature for that, to kind of a little workaround, where you schedule, as you're building out your schedule, assign each item to a phase. Yep. And that way the homeowners, they're not going to see all the nitty gritty details that you want to see and that your guys on site want to see. They'll just see the phase of construction. So you won't get the weird questions of like, I don't know, you may have like a soils test in your schedule, and the homeowner starts freaking out. Well, what's the soils test? Is anything going to go wrong? Or maybe, but they're going to see the phased approach, and it's just going to say excavation. Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're saying is you're highlighting something that's just super important. As a builder, you've got to be a visual person that, in a sense, like, not visual, but like, you're building it out in your brain, like your mind. You've got to be able to imagine it in your mind's eye. You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
Build it and they will come.
It's pickleball, baby.
Yeah, mind's eye. Well, we can go off on that topic. But like, you know, you've got to take a 40,000 square foot, not square foot, 40,000 foot view from the airplane first. And I think, you know, what, even back up what we do as we start the project, what Adam was highlighting first with pre-construction, and what he didn't highlight is that in pre-construction, there is milestones even in the pre-construction that you have to hit. And then during construction, we have maybe 12 or 15 milestones that we have. And then
got a list.
That kind of is that 40,000 foot view. And then you zoom in a little bit more, and then there's certain critical paths that have to be achieved in those milestones. And then you zoom in even more, and you start to see there's even more tasks and data that need to be inputted in there. And I think you've got to start 40,000 foot view to not get overwhelmed and start digging down. And I think a challenge that we have faced, and we still do today, is to get buy-in on that schedule. And I think, just talking, I think we could do better at having our PMs really almost create a schedule and present it to us more, instead of having like a production manager and us do it. Because I do think there's a powerful tool that, as you do this, you know, 40,000 foot view, 20,000, 10, 5, you know, and zoom into this, you're building the house visually, and you can see, okay, this house is huge and it has a lot of steel. And what am I going to have to do when we do, you know, we've got steel going on, and what other components could happen? What other things need to happen as I'm doing that? And as you build it out and assess all those different things, what will happen is as you use that tool, then when you start construction, it will be a powerful tool. Then it won't just be this is a good idea and we're gonna try to adhere to this, and it just becomes something that you can put on the shelf, and like, but it becomes this really interactive tool that's being used every day and collaborative as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think as you're building out your schedule, 100% take your time. As you're building it out, make the appropriate assignments. You know, you can assign your excavator to the excavation line item on your schedule so that they will receive notifications when it's happening. That's a huge tool that the schedules have.
Like that. Yeah, yep.
Yep.
Or any shifts.
And then I would also say, you know, a lot of times, and I was definitely guilty of this early on, where I built out my first template schedule and I said, dude, this is it.
Your
schedule is successful when you bring in your subcontractors.
Totally.
You know, you need to incorporate them. You need to have that phone call with your electrician. You need to start getting an understanding of, hey, if I have a 4,000 square foot home, it may take 5 days to do the rough-in for my electrical. But if that's an 8,000 square foot home, I need to have that understanding. So involve your subcontractors when you're building out a schedule. But it all starts with the template. You know, get your template, get the bones there. Mm-hmm. Then as the project progresses and you define the scope of work, you just make the appropriate adjustments to accommodate that scope of work or that home that you're trying to build.
Well, and that's when like the true magic starts happening, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because when you get the subs, like, and I feel like we've just been able to be on this, like, we're at the cusp and like hitting this, like climbing this peak. I don't think we're there yet, but we're getting close. Where like you've got all your key contractors, all your ones that drive the critical path, they are assigned to those tasks. They are accepting the schedule. They're saying they're going to be there on Builder Trend, and they're active in responding and all using the tool. And that is when it becomes like this ultimate collaboration tool that it really can and should be. It's hard to get there though. Yeah. It won't get there. I mean, it's taken us a long time to get there where like you're getting buy-in from every sub. And then the bad thing is that we've been through this. The detrimental problem is you can build this schedule and it could look beautiful. And, but if it's not active and live every day and it's not realistic, the subs will learn quick and they will not trust it. And you will have the hardest time building back their testimony of Builder Trend and your organization. Like they, subs, you know, subcontractors, trades, they want to be, for them to be successful, you have to be successful. And you have to be organized. They're going to go to the job that is the most organized, that the job is ready, the material is there. They seek out contractors like that. And the moment things are falling off the rails with you and you can't put them back on, they're gonna go to your job less. They're going to send one guy and not their best. And they're gonna charge you more because you're more of a headache. Like we are clients to them as a GC. And so they look at us as like, oh, are you the problem GC? Or are you the one that makes them more successful and they're super efficient on job sites? And that's where the schedule has to be active. It has to be something that's living and breathing and adjusted frequently. And I think that's what's so powerful that Builder Trend has implemented with daily logs into the schedule. I had no idea until we started doing that how many subs love to see the daily logs that we're putting up, so they get a live view of what's going on. I don't, you know, I might be, someone might chastise me right now for me not knowing this. I feel guilty already admitting this.
You're looking at me.
I know.
You feel like I'm.
I think you will. I think Adam yells at me.
There's only love here, bro.
Safe zone, right? Safe
space. Always, dude.
Safe space. I don't know if, can a subcontractor put up a daily log?
They can comment on them. I know that for sure. Like they've commented on ours.
I feel like some of our subs are bought in enough with us that they would probably put a daily log up. Like, this is what I did. And I'd be like, dope. Like, you know, like, it would be collaborative. Like, I think the more collaborative you can make a schedule, the more active it is, because these guys work alongside each other. It's mm-hmm. such a collaborative approach even. I think gone are the days when people are complaining a lot about, like, there's too many people here, there's too many subs here. Like, if you're organized and you make it collaborative, and they like, you know, you're able to help them play nice with each other. I know they collaborate with our daily yeah. logs.
We were, Joe and I, we were having this same conversation with a good buddy of ours. His name's Brad with AFT. And we were talking about this exact thing where, dude, we're going to lose, you know, our subcontractors' confidence in us because our guys, our project managers, they're not updating their schedules. He was like, dude, fireable offense.
That's right.
Make it a fireable offense. And we were like, oh, freak. Yeah, that's true. So then after that conversation, we went back to our office and we came up with daily CCP is what we call it. And our project managers, they need to do their daily CCP, which is calendar contact plan is what we say. So daily, if necessary, you need to be updating your schedules. And that's the fastest way to gain confidence mm-hmm. from your subcontractors. It's the fastest way to get a subcontractor to your site. If you have an updated schedule and you make a phone call, they will answer it, you know. But it's also the most detrimental. If you're not updating your schedules, you will slowly feel that they are not answering the phone every time that you call, or you're going to start waiting a week, 2 weeks.
Awesome. Amazing. And subs can make daily logs,
by
the way.
They can.
Yeah.
We need to do that.
We're going to blow your mind later.
Oh, see, I knew it. I knew we think we're super users, but like there's all these like these little details that we need to like start implementing.
But
this just in.
Subcontractors.
Another layer of the builder trend.
Breaking news. This is the way. A better way.
That's a better way.
No, and so what I'm gathering is that the schedule is the mitochondria. Right.
Oh, yes.
Jeez. The powerhouse of the builder trend cell.
Wow.
I mean, the funnel, it's a huge...
I like the mitochondria. I suck at pronouncing things.
Like
mitochondria.
We've hit another version.
Yeah. But it's a huge
construction management degree, not a biology degree.
You're trying to figure out where that's at?
I'm like, so is that the part that's in a cell?
It's the left. It's the femur.
It's the nucleus.
Oh, gosh. No, and I think you guys nailed it as well. It's... The schedule is for you, right? For peace of mind for you, but also it's a huge communication piece with your internal team, your subcontractors, your clients, everybody. So, and you said you use, you know, we have daily logs, we have sending out the confirmations, logging the notes. Is there any other ways that you're using the schedule to kind of communicate with all parties involved?
Yeah, I mean, back up to milestones is I was going to, like, the clients themselves are integrated in that schedule. So our milestone process is, I often say, it's an internal process that has some checks and balances for the project. It has some quality control where, like, mm-hmm. hey, this is a milestone. One of them is like the framing milestone's a big one I think about. We've hit a milestone, we've dried in the house, it's framed. And there is an activity that we know that the clients know. They get this milestone packet and they see it online. It's also linked in our selections that each milestone has certain selections or choices or, you know, whatever linked that those deadlines are now up. So we know at framing, there's certain things that you can no longer change without a drastic change order and a delay to the schedule, which is then cost to everyone. And you know, I think as a GC, this is something that I often hear me saying to younger people that are joining the industry. As a GC, it is your job. You have complete ownership. You better own that entire job. The moment you accept it, you're in charge of the architect. You're in charge of the interior designer if you don't have it in-house. You're in charge of the city. You're in charge of everybody. So you've got to have a process to manage those people, and you're in charge of the client. Mm-hmm. Because the client ultimately, they're hiring you as the expert. And I've been in lots of angry meetings when people have said that to me over the years. Like, it's kind of an aha moment, like, well, you're the expert, you need to tell me. And so that's a big component about being a GC is the client doesn't get to build the home their way. We actually were confused and thought at one point in our business, we had a tagline that I laughed about. Oh, yeah. I don't know, we don't say anymore because it's kind of ridiculous when I think about it. It was called Your Home, Your Way. And I'm like, this is such BS. Yeah, it's never your that. Way. You're building it my
this
way.
This is not Burger King.
No, this isn't Burger King. You don't get to choose. But they don't. They don't know the better way. And so you've got to manage them. And so we do it through a milestone process that, like, at this certain milestone, we're going to have a meeting. We've reached this schedule milestone, this meeting. We have an agenda attached to that meeting. We have selection deadlines attached there. We're gonna look at the home, and we're also internally gonna say, we've reached this schedule milestone. What are the checklists, quality control checklists we have to do here? What are the things we must do? What are the activities we have to do to progress now the schedule beyond that? And I do think schedule, you have to schedule everything. There's all aspects, but the client component is a big one. And those check-ins of the schedule to kind of, there's each milestone for us is kind of like a moment to stop and say, okay, let's have a meeting.
Real pulse check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's meet on site and let's check things out. And the milestones are obviously what they are, a big milestone. Or what's another word for milestone? Like achievement of the house, like that
goal
that, you know, progresses the home past a certain step and obviously has some important things that we've achieved and things that we need to check off and make sure are done. And the clients are very involved in that. And they're also held accountable mm-hmm. to that schedule.
Which is huge.
Yeah, because, hey, we've had it and I've done it. We've done it well and we've done it bad when after the framing milestone, a client makes a massive change. Like, I'm going to change this covered porch into a dining room. That shouldn't affect the schedule too much, right? Yeah.
Not at all.
And here's the worst thing. Like, that you get this way as a contractor when you start with certain clients, especially when you get into custom homes and you kind of graduate into different things, and if that's the route you're going, you actually get to certain clients who you first say, okay, they're going to do this, but it's going to be freaking expensive. There's no way they're going to do it. And plus, we're going to add even more sugar on top to make sure they don't do it. So you're like, yeah, we can do that for X amount. They're never going to say it. And they're like, yeah.
Absolutely, sign me
absolutely
up.
Do that. And you're like, crap, I admit it. But then you have to also say, you have to really hold it accountable because all of a sudden they just disrupted. Now they made it their way. And unfortunately, that does happen in custom building when all of a sudden you're like, freak. Is now they're now kind of controlling it because they just made a massive change, mm-hmm. and you can't say no unless you're gonna, you know, in true custom building you can't really say it. It's hard to say no. So then, but you have to then also assess all the risks, handbrake, and be like, how does this affect my schedule, and really, say, okay, we've now destroyed the past schedule. We have now got to reset everything, and that's again. Try not to be the eternal optimist when those things come up, because sometimes we're always like, yeah, we can do that.
Oh, totally. I think, you had asked, like, what are some of the unique things that we add in our schedules or whatnot. Mm-hmm. To just touch on that real quick, like delays, I want to make sure that every builder knows and understands that we don't cause the delays, okay? Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, there's four types of delays. There's weather delays, there's procurement or material delays, there's subcontractor delays, and then there's owner delays. So no matter, and everything can be tracked back to those four types of delays. Put those delays on your schedules so that they are visible to your homeowners. Or if you don't share the calendars, it's visible to your internal crew. So you can always go back and you can reference the calendar and you can count how many weather delays there actually were, how many procurement delays there actually were, how many subcontractor delays or owner delays. Mm-hmm. Put all those delays in your schedules and it'll save your butt in the end. One other thing that
I love that, by the way. That was awesome.
It's a huge data set too to reference. Like you can, and that's how you learn as well. Like,
totally.
Where can we tweak in the future if we know we're consistently getting a delay here?
Yeah. if there's a trade or supplier that constantly delays you, you either get rid of them or talk to him and say, hey, how do we improve this?
Yeah,
I mean, it's the only way you do improve, by measuring your performance.
Because we're doing our job.
We're the service provider.
Calling. Yep, we are the service provider. We're calling the subcontractors constantly to try and get them to the job. Contrary to popular belief, like, we cannot force them. We can do everything that we can. We can incentivize, we can do anything, but I cannot physically force them to come to the job. So it's not technically my fault. Mm-hmm. So we just need to make sure that that's visible to our internal crew and to the homeowners. But one other thing that we do with our schedules is we do quite a bit of our jobs, our cash jobs. And so we also put up a payment schedule.
That's huge.
On the schedule. Oh. And we give them a 4-week in advance notice. Hey, on this date or this milestone, there's a payment of $183,000.
Yeah, liquidate those stocks before that, because we need the payment.
Totally. So, like, that's a huge component of the schedule. It really helps on those cash jobs where I can populate my payment schedule at the very beginning of the project and not necessarily have to go back and think about it during the process. And then I get the email from the homeowner that says, oh, hey, I just saw the notification, because I can assign it to them and it will alert them. I owe a payment in like 4 weeks. And yeah, you totally do. It's coming up.
Gosh darn
right. Let's get it ready. Yep. And so that's another thing that we do on the cash jobs. Cash payments.
Little
schedule.
Nuggets everywhere.
Mm. Yeah. Gold nuggets. You're good at sharing those, by the way, Adam. That little was great. Nuggets. I loved it.
Dude, it's and Cardinal Crest for the people. Always.
For the people.
Build for the people.
For the people.
Not their way, though. It's our way.
So I think, thank you for the golden nuggets here and there. But like, so what other quick wins or pro tips do you have for the listeners out there about scheduling? Because it can be a little scary. I know you guys said that, like, from the womb of buildership, scheduling is is the bread and butter. But
it is.
You know, it's a little bit different when it's surrounded by a ton of other features. So what are some pro tips, some quick wins that you have?
Okay, I got a couple more. So when you are building out your template, right, and you have a project manager, one of your in-house guys, and let's just say I'm X company and I have 6 project managers. So I don't want to have 6 different templates that have an assignment to each one of my project managers. I want to make sure I put in like a test name or something for this project manager. So then when this schedule goes live, I can update that user and assign it to one of my project managers. That's incredibly helpful. And you can do that even with your subcontractors as well. So if you're a builder that uses 4 different electricians, you've got 4 different excavators, you know, you can update the template schedule. If you're using kind of like this blank name, I don't know what, trying a generic name for that particular subcontractor, that's huge and that's awesome. Another thing I would suggest is start small, start with the base template schedule. Once you have that in place, then start assessing your business. How many pools am I doing a year? How many remodels am I doing a year? Am I doing basement finishes? Am I doing additions? Then let's start creating template schedules for each one of those specific tasks or jobs that you might get. And that's just going to help speed up production. You're not going to feel overwhelmed when you do get this basement finish and think, freak, I got to build out another schedule for this. You know, start big with the one schedule and then start populating your templates with more specific templates, depending on the scope of work. A new build with a basement finish, a new build, basement finish and pool. A new build, you know, those types of things are really going to make your business a lot more efficient.
Yeah, I think a lot of people might, if they're custom, might think like every house has to be built out in a custom template. Like I can't have templates. Like the idea of a template is too, you know, for production builders. But I think what you're saying is spot on. You've got to have a roadmap, and then as you get into each job, then you'll be able to get into the details and add those.
Oh yeah,
and it's super repeatable what we do. I mean, it's
Oh, dude. And then just think like the production guys, the guys that are building 1,000 homes a year that, that use Builder Trend.
Plug and chug.
I want a schedule for each one of the floor plans.
I know.
That I use. You know, that's huge for them. So, you know, if you are building the 500 homes a year, that whatever, and you're building specific floor plans, have a template schedule per each floor plan that you're using.
And then the hardest thing about all this, right? We're talking about great theory and great wins and successes. But I mean, I've touched on it a little bit, but you have to be consistent at it. And so like, don't get overwhelmed or don't start by like trying to make this beautiful schedule that you're not going to update daily or weekly. It's really cool to implement these notifications, these to-dos. I mean, you've got so much layers in Builder Trend schedule that you can add into that eventually should be there. But if you don't have a schedule that you're updating daily or weekly, scrap all of it and start at the baseline is you have a 3-week schedule that you're updating every day.
Yeah.
And then when you get more successful at that and people and you're a believer and your team's a believer, then start upping your game and adding in more layers. And then you're going to start seeing the powerful tool and all the different details you can get into and see that magic that happens when the subs are involved. But if you don't do the basic steps, it's going to suck. And it could all be, and the other thing is you got to hold everyone accountable. I mean, we've had PMs who just don't believe in it. And as Adam says, it's a fireable offense because it is a roadblock. It's the mitochondria of building.
Yeah.
Woof.
320 days to finish that home. You got to
get the days.
Got to get the days.
That's cool. It doesn't take me 14 months.
No,
it takes me
365 days and 7 hours. But I think you've got to stay on top of it. The moment it stops becoming a living schedule, it's going to be detrimental in so many ways. Yeah, I mean, and so again, like baby steps in it. Do the most basic thing. 3-week look ahead. You don't even have to have a true CP Gantt chart, awesome schedule. That's just amazing because some of these people are only 2-man crews, or a lot of builders are only 2-man crews or 1-man crew, and they're some of the best builders out there. They're true craftsmen and artisans. They're doing one home a year, but they still need a schedule. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Honestly, a 3-week schedule that's updated, that's accurate, that's assessing risks, and he's looking at it daily can be just as powerful as all the other stuff we're talking about if it's done correctly. Now, I do believe the other layers are super cool and become more powerful, and like it's how you scale. Yeah. When you add in all those little nuggets and details like Adam's talking about and all those little things, is how you scale to do more than one home. And that's where Builder Trend really adds to that. It adds like fuel to the fire to you can scale that.
Yeah. One other strategy that I've heard other builders do with their scheduling templates is they do have two templates per entire schedule, meaning they have one template that they will do from groundbreaking up until drywall finish, and that will be the first half of construction, and then they have the latter half, drywall to completion, and that way they will then just import the finish schedule once they get to two drywall. So I think there's pros and cons to that strategy. And it works for, I feel like there is a builder out there that might be, I don't want to have the whole thing up. You know, it takes me forever, or my home is so custom that I want to make sure that my project manager is hyper-focused on getting to the drywall milestone.
He's just split into two milestones.
He's splitting it up into two phases, essentially. Yeah. So I've heard some builders have that strategy to it, which makes sense, I think.
Awesome. Amazing. And that's the way the cookie crumbles with Cardinal Crest.
Boom.
We'll put that on a t-shirt, too.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I appreciate you guys giving us the insight and scheduling. Mitochondria. Trademarked by Bree Ferris and Joe and Adam.
Boom.
Perfect.
That's all she wrote.
The better way.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to The Better Way. If you're a BuilderTrend customer, schedule a training session to learn more tricks for applying software within your business. All listeners, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to The Better Way wherever you get your podcasts. Visit buildertrend.com/podcast to sign up for the email notifications when the next season drops and explore our original podcast, The Building Code. And we hope you aren't going anywhere, because there's more Joe and Adam in our next episode. Keep listening to hear how they make the selections process easy for their team and for their clients. And just like this episode, they'll even talk about their templates and established processes for the often complicated stage of the builder journey.